Back here on Radio Row, and one of the great things about coming to Super Bowl week, you do talk a lot about the game. You talk about things that you never thought you would talk about, and that's one of them right now. And first of all, I want to say hello to Solomon Wilcots, because I've had Solomon on my radio show many times in Sacramento from CBS Sports. So it's great to finally shake your hand in person.
Absolutely,
how are you?
Absolutely, Grant. Yeah, we've normally spent a lot of time talking, but we don't get to see one another.
Absolutely.
So great to see
you.
Well,
it's great to have you also, Jim Joyce, and I'm going to let you talk about your company here in a moment. But Solomon, I first want to just ask you before we get into this. You know, if you don't mind me talking about where you're from in Cincinnati, the Bengals still looking for a playoff win, and this was such a disappointing season for the Cincinnati Bengals. Where's that franchise headed right now?
I think that's a really good question, because I think, honestly, if we were to give you a straight answer, it is we don't know. They became so close to winning that playoff game, five straight years of getting to the postseason, but then not winning a game when you get there, and then to recede and fall back the way that they did after losing good players like a Mohamed Sanu due to free agency, losing other players like Marvin Jones in free agency, a Reggie Nelson now playing with the Oakland Raiders in their secondary. The offensive line did not materialize. They've drafted to replace some players there, and those players haven't flourished. They didn't come through. So there are a number of areas, particularly in the secondary, that they're looking at this football team, and they saw a decline, and they're a great concern.
We're talking about a very important topic right now, and CTE, I'm sure everyone now is aware of what CTE is, head injuries, head studies, where we're at now in 2017, and that's where Jim Joyce comes in. So why don't you first of all tell us a little bit about your company?
Sure. I run a company called Athlon Medical based in San Diego. And our primary focus is the treatment of infectious disease and oncology indications. But in 2009, a former teammate of mine, Tom McHale, became the second person diagnosed with CTE by the Boston University CTE Center. This autopsy was presented at the Super Bowl in 2009. So we decided to try to transition some of our scientific skills to see if we couldn't find a biomarker that might help identify this disease in the living. At present, it's only diagnosed post-mortem through autopsy. So that was our challenge. About 3 years ago, we discovered a biomarker, and then we're invited to test that biomarker by the Boston University CTE Center through the first NIH-funded study of CTE in NFL players. And the results were published this past year in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease. And we showed that the biomarker, which we call a tauzone, was significantly higher, on average 9 times higher in former NFL players compared to same age group subjects who were former athletes that participated in sports that didn't involve head trauma. And then furthermore, we demonstrated that the levels of this marker correlated with cognitive decline based on a battery of memory tests and psychomotor tests that were administered to the participants.
So in a nutshell, we're talking about a potentially amazing breakthrough invention, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. This could just change the course of people's lives.
It has the possibility. It's promising. Preliminary data, the study was in 78 former players, 16 control subjects. We now need to accelerate the processes for validating this biomarker. So we're going to do another follow-on study, a much larger study in former NFL players. And what's really important to recognize is that until there's an actual means to diagnose this condition in the living, it's not possible to evaluate therapies. So there's not going to be a therapeutic candidate till you can diagnose the disease.
Good point.
And you need a biomarker that you can monitor to see how somebody might respond to therapies.
You know, Solomon, I'm just curious. You know, you and your former players, and you talk about this. But you know what I talk about when I hear things like this? There are a lot of people that didn't play professional football, but they played youth football, and they played high school football, and they might be in our generation where, you know, I played high school football, and I played defensive line, and you listen, I can count the number of times I had my bell rung,
right?
And I didn't miss a play.
Yeah.
Okay, and so did I have a concussion back then? I played lacrosse, and so I'm not trying to be, you know, self-serving here, but there are a lot of people when we hear about the speed and the contact in the NFL. And then we hear the cautions about youth sports now, and maybe, you know, you shouldn't play youth football until a certain age. And so we're not just talking about, I know your study is with former NFL players, but there's a lot more to this.
There's no doubt.
Right?
And so whatever is done to help these former players is going to help the general population
right.
all around. That's how it is when it comes to medical science. NFL players, I have always told my friends, I said, we're almost like test dummies for the rest of the general population. Some of the things like when Bo Jackson blows his hip out, he gets a hip replacement, it works. Now everyone says, you know what? Bo Jackson had the hip replacement.
Yep.
I want that. I
sure.
Because NFL players, we do so much damage to our bodies. We're constantly going in for surgery, whether it's orthopedic or other medicines. It's been tested out on
sure.
us. And once it's proven to work, it benefits everyone. And that's something just like what you talked about. There's going to be a lot of people who never played in the National Football League, but yet they did play sport. They may have even played soccer.
That's right.
And obviously when you're doing headers and you're taking blows to the head, it's a wet, heavy soccer ball, those subconcussive blows like what Jim often talks about, it also leads to problems in this area called CTE.
Jim, before we wrap this up, so you're here. I know what you're talking about. What's the one message you want to get out this week if you could tell everyone?
Well, in terms of the players, we need them to get back into the game, and this time in clinical studies, to participate in these studies, because something that's very important to recognize is that CTE has never been diagnosed in somebody that didn't participate in activities that involve repetitive head trauma. So it's not found in the general population. So while it seems very important to us, from a global perspective, it's a very rare condition. In the groups that are most likely to suffer from this, that can be organized are former NFL players. And so, again, we need their participation
yeah.
So that we can continue to advance a biomarker, which if we can accomplish that goal, then it unlocks the door for therapies.
Solomon, I'm curious, with medical technology and what we're talking about today, I don't have a crystal ball, you don't have a crystal ball. But I'm just wondering, do you think that as we watch football today, which is vastly different than, you know, even 10 years ago,
yeah.
20 years ago, and we can go right back down to where the rules have changed, how do you think the game will have to change? Do you think that the sport of football as we know and love today will still love it 10, 15 years from now if studies such as this and others come out and we continue to have red flags on the table?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. You know, I grew up watching someone like Jack Tatum.
Absolutely.
I was a huge fan of Jack Tatum. I love the way the game was played
right.
then. And then
they tried to take your head off.
The game, that's right, but you can't do that anymore. But I still love the game.
Yes.
The game has continued to evolve. It's continued to grow. They have made it safer. Okay? We know more. And because we know more and have more education, we have to tweak and change the way this game is played, whether it's protecting our quarterbacks so that someone like Derek Carr can remain upright and safe and on the field so that our game is played at the highest level, or protecting receivers. We don't want any more Darryl Stingleys
no.
in the game. And so just like as the game was played differently in the 70s and 80s than it was, say, in the 40s and 50s, it's going to continue to evolve and continue to grow, but I still believe the game will be played at a high level. I think artistically what the NFL has to offer is still a beautiful game to watch. It's a beautiful game to play. So, yes, there will be changes along the way. We will have to continue to upgrade and tweak and make the game safer to play, but I still believe the game will remain beautiful, very artistic, and it'll be fun.
Guys, I appreciate it. As I said, you know, I come here every year, and you sometimes talk about things you didn't expect to talk about, and this is one of them, but I'm glad we are talking about this, and I wished you best of success down the road with this.
Great. Thank you, Grant.
Thanks for having us, Grant.
Hey, thank
appreciate
you. It. Jim Joyce and Solomon Wilcots right here on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHTK.